What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Well, we are without Sue Thomas today. We do have the Hall of Famer in the room with us.
How about old Fred Bottenheimer over there, ladies and gentlemen?
And Ethan Hannaford is with us as well. He has Ethan's news pinch hitting for Sue. I think Sue's going to be back tomorrow, though, right?
Yeah.
She was doing some moving today. Fred, it's a good question for you. How much would you... Are you a good sleeper first? Let me start with
that.
Yeah, you go to sleep like you can just
fall
asleep?
Yeah, I can fall asleep easily.
Really? No, yeah. No medication or anything like that that helps you?
No, never.
Wow, I wish I could say that. Ethan, do you fall asleep relatively easily?
I'm okay. You know, I use melatonin.
Yeah, so says nothing... the guy who admitted that he took a nap in my office a couple of weeks ago, right?
Okay, that's a little bit over the top. That was a little more than a couple weeks ago, but it has happened.
I've had major sleep issues ever since I did morning radio really early in the morning in Milwaukee, and this goes back to the late 1990s. And you know, for me, it's either I can't get to sleep, or when I wake up, I can get back to sleep. So I do take some Ambien. I have some other meds for my mental brain situation. But even then, sometimes it doesn't work out super well. The other thing, and this is kind of gross, I'm just going to tell you that, because I'm going to segue into this topic here, that I do have, I don't know if I'd call them the night sweats, but every once in a while I get pretty hot, you know, when I'm sleeping and have too many blankets on or whatever, and then it gets gross. But the reason I bring it up is because today in the Wall Street Journal, there's a headline that says Musk and Zuckerberg praise this $3,000 smart mattress cover. Will regular people buy it too? And what they talk about how when your product's power users include tech billionaires like Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg, where do you go next for sleep fitness? The startup, the company's called 8 Sleep. The answer is Main Street. So this is an 11-year-old startup that said yesterday, today, that it had raised $100 million in what they call a Series D funding round, partly to expand into a physical retail shop and medical devices that could be covered by insurance. Right now, you can just order online, so they don't have any stores like, you know, the Sleep Number bed or something like that. It's widening its marketing to feature real customers outside of tech, betting that growing interest in health and longevity will drive more consumers to spend big on their nightly snooze. So now their valuation is close to $1 billion. That's up from $500 million in 2021. Apparently, they've made about $500 million over the years when they've sold this thing. So they say that the audience is someone who's spending $3,000 on a high-tech device to help them sleep better, but they are normal people. They're doctors, they're dancers, they're teachers. The co-founder of 8 Sleep, her name, Alexandra Zatarain. We will keep developing innovations that will get us into more households. So they have this pod. And did you ever see any of these pods when you were in Japan, Fred? Because I've heard they're popular over there.
I did.
Right. Like
yeah,
these little pods.
Small sleep pods. Right.
I don't know if that's exactly what this is, but this is a pod that comprises a mattress cover connected to a router-shaped hub that provides cooling and heating, sleep and health data tracking, and vibrating and thermal alarms. Now, a lot of this stuff you can do with like a watch, right? With your Apple Watch or with some of these other devices. The model that they're talking about in the Wall Street Journal costs $5,099 for a king-size cover with features including speakers, adjustable height, not counting an annual app subscription. So you got to get the subscription too. That's extra. That's $399. You have to have it for the first year. I don't think it's $399. So they actually require you to have the app, but it does top out at $399. Optional accessories include, remember, you're $5,000 in already. You can get a $1,000 blanket. There are brands that are competitors called Chillipan and SleepMe. They cost a lot less and they don't require a subscription. But 8 Sleep unveiled a sleep supplement at $59 a month and plans to introduce more products at lower price points. So this is a big deal. I can see people spending money on this for
totally,
sure.
Totally, because if you have a bad sleep habit, or you just can't sleep, you'll do anything to get over it, right?
Well, right, right. And unfortunately for me, I've had to rely on the, you know, on Ambien, and I've taken that way too often for many years. But if I don't take it in many situations, I just cannot get to sleep. I can't fall asleep.
I now remember, I think it might have been in either the Tokyo or the Osaka airport that they had like a station there with sleep
with pods, right,
where you could go in.
And these may be just a little different, but because they're trying to expand into China, and they're trying to make it, this is what's interesting too, they want it to become a medically prescribable treatment that would be reimbursable by health insurance. So the story in the journal says the company hopes its products will be used to treat sleep apnea. Last month, it introduced the rapid cool-down feature to help customers counter hot flashes during menopause. None of us have to, well, I shouldn't say that. I mean, you could still become a woman, and that would happen. Ethan, you're welcome to do that if you want. The company says that they're in the process of applying for that approval from the FDA as a medical device. So, but this thing has really taken off. I guess they have generated more than $500 million since it was introduced in 2019. Again, now the valuation is $1 billion. They've always sold products directly to consumers online, but next year they want retail showrooms in markets where brand awareness is already high. That sounds like a Mark Reardon live endorsement campaign here in St. Louis, doesn't it? They say, we find in our marketing purchasing journey that people would like to try the product. We could probably be accelerating our sales even if we have more ways for people to try it. I think they're right. I mean, that price point sounds high, but if you buy just a regular mattress, it's not cheap anyway. So to your point, Fred, you know, especially if these things last a long time, that's the other thing. You know, you're going to spend $1,000 on a blanket. Is that going to be something you're going to have for 5 or 10 years or how long?
What would you have for speakers? What would be the purpose of that?
Oh, I think there's a lot of purpose for that because
look, what about that gnat sound?
White noise
sort of?
And things like that, or music. A lot of times I'll put my headphones on when I'm trying to fall asleep. There's meditation. There are, you know, things along
waves,
those lines. I can see the speakers
sounds
becoming, especially depending on where they are.
Well,
pushed up against the mattress.
I listen to worship music when I fall asleep. But
well, there you go. You program that in.
But I have my phone.
Yeah. Well, like, okay. But the speakers on the bed,
sure.
I'm sure you're using the app and you're using your phone still. It might be more soothing to you. The audio that comes out, that's why I use headphones, but the audio that comes out of the phone
is not great.
Just doesn't do it.
Yeah.
Right.
And other people
an audio savant like you, for you, I'm sure.
My wife's always, My wife's always shocked that I can listen to, she can hear sometimes the music coming out of my headphones and it's not exactly soft. And then I'm asleep in like, you know, 3 minutes and it's still blaring in my ear. So there, look for that new opportunity for you to get better sleep and spend like $7,000 or $8,000 coming soon. We have Ethan's news in for Sue coming up next.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Coming up a little later on the show, we have former United States Senator Jim Talent, who's going to weigh in on the efforts by the Trump administration to end Putin's war on Ukraine. He'll have some thoughts. He knows Catherine Hanaway pretty well, the newly named Missouri Attorney General. I reported a little bit earlier during the monologue more than an hour ago, about this new report that came out on the tornado siren. Steve Butt, state rep, will join us. And then yesterday I covered Olivia Rheingold and some of the things that she did at the Free Press, where you had the New York Times and other organizations taking these pictures of kids completely out of context, calling them starving when in fact they had different, you know, comorbidities, if you will. And she did some great reporting. So Olivia's coming up at 5:32. Sue is off today. We have Ethan's news.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now Sue's news. Brought to you by Sue.
Except it's Ethan's
except
news
today. Right.
And it's brought to you by Ethan. Sorry to disappoint for all who were hoping for Sue Thomas. She will be back tomorrow. Today, is a beautiful
Did you
day.
Say you're glad, Fred?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You, because you don't have to do it?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
It is National
Trickle Down
Potato Day. National Potato Day.
Huh.
Happy National Potato Day to all who celebrate. I love myself some tomatoes and a new poll.
Wait, is it potatoes or tomatoes? You just said potatoes and then you said you love tomatoes.
No, I didn't.
Yes,
did
you did.
Really?
Yes, yeah. You did. Your brain did. I do it all the time. So
and
I'm
this
just
is why
you.
I miss Sue Thomas.
Yeah, exactly.
It's National Potato Day.
Okay, just so we're clear. I didn't want to celebrate the wrong thing tonight.
Potatoes. And there's a new poll out for the day that looked at the most popular homemade potato dishes, and it wasn't even close. Any guesses, number one?
Mashed potatoes.
Baked potatoes.
It is mashed potatoes.
Yeah, I would have said mashed.
Wasn't
so.
Even close.
Right, I don't think it should be close. Although I do love a good baked potato with all the, you know, what would you call them?
Accoutrements.
Accoutrements. That's a good word, yes. Fred. Thank
yeah,
you.
It is. Second,
bacon, some sour cream, right?
The chives, the cheese.
Yeah.
Oh. Now I'm hungry. Second was potato salad. That one kind of surprised me.
That surprises me, too.
Above baked potatoes, which were third, and then hash browns were fourth. Where's
what about
the
French
love?
Fries?
Where's the love for fries? That's okay. What I'm saying.
I'm going to throw the challenge flag on this list.
So there was also, they looked at a couple of specific regional dishes in different parts of the country and what specifically involving potatoes. They love New England, loves shepherd's pie. The mid-Atlantic states like Pennsylvania, New York love, is it pierogies? Is that how you say it?
Pierogies.
Pierogies, yeah. Okay. Breakfast potatoes are really big along the East Coast. And potato soup is popular in a lot of southern states. I love potato
That's
soup.
Good.
New Year's tradition. We have it every New Year's at home. And then I think the one that intrigued me the most, West Coast, they do potato tacos. You ever heard of those?
No, and it doesn't sound like
either,
something I'd be interested in.
I don't know. I'd kind of be intrigued. They get those potatoes crispy, get the cheese in there in the mix.
Maybe.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just weird. As we move on here in Ethan's news, Cambridge's dictionary has added a few new words, and some of these had me scratching my head. The one that was my favorite, skibbity.
Skibbity. What does that mean?
Skibbity.
You know that one, Fred?
Yeah, it means nothing. Go ahead.
What, have your kids used this?
It's a word that can have different meanings, such as cool or bad, or can be used with no real meaning as a joke. For example, like, what the skibbity are you doing? Or, that wasn't very skibbity riz of you. What is
How
that?
Did you know this, Fred?
Yeah,
I don't
how
know.
Did
it's
you?
Just it just means
you've heard it.
Yeah,
okay,
I've heard it.
That one I haven't heard.
Skibbity.
I haven't. Usually, it's my daughter when I learn these things, like Riz and Sus, and she uses bruh quite a bit, and then low key. That's another one.
That could be my holiday word to use this Thanksgiving and Christmas. See if the
which
my
one?
Boys skibbity.
Skibbity.
See if the boys know. That I'm
you pull out skibbity, skibbity. He's writing it down right now. That's what
yeah,
he's doing.
Yeah.
He's writing it down.
I like that as an assignment.
Read, say skibbity at Christmas two
That's
sons.
Right.
Your kids are so onto that now
yeah,
at that point,
are.
Right?
They are.
How about this one? You guys ever heard Delulu?
No.
It's short for delusional.
That makes at least that makes yeah. sense. Yeah.
Trad wife is short for traditional wife.
Okay.
The broligarchy is a term for tech bros who are extremely powerful and have or want political influence. They mentioned Mark Zuckerberg, Elon Musk as both members of the broligarchy. DYOR is now in the Cambridge Dictionary, stands for do your own research. There's a bunch of these. They named 15 of these that are really goofy. How about this one? Manterrupting, interrupting a woman when she's speaking, usually because the man thinks he has something more important to say.
What's the opposite of that? Oh, yeah, it's Jane Duker.
Where's the bell? Where's that bell? one more here I'll share. Shelaborating, explaining something in a much more detailed way than is necessary, often making the explanation more confusing. Can that one be a Jane Duker too?
Maybe.
We love you,
She's
Jane.
Out of town, so I can say all this
We
stuff.
Appreciate you, Jane. There is a 31-year-old woman near Lexington, Kentucky, that is facing charges after she damaged her ex-boyfriend's car so bad that she totaled it. Her name is Stephanie Carlquist, and they got in some sort of fight earlier last month, and she slashed one of his tires. But the real damage came later that month. After a second fight on July 15th, he says she smashed his windshield, cracked his rearview mirror, destroyed his radio, filled his vents with glitter, and poured salt in his engine. His car had to be towed, and his insurance totaled it after a mechanic said it would cost over $12,000 to fix everything. For some reason, though, Stephanie was there when the tow truck driver showed up and told him she was the one who did it. She also fessed up in text to her boyfriend later on and claimed she did it because she's stressed out and pregnant. It's not clear if he's the father or not. So she admitted it to the police that she did all of these things, but she tried to claim some of the other damages were because her ex was overdue for an oil change.
Well, maybe he was.
That has to be one of the craziest girlfriend stories that I have ever heard.
Oh, they get pretty crazy, Ethan.
I mean, destroying a car, $12,000 worth of damage, that's pretty wild.
I think it's even more wild that she admitted to it all. Keep your mouth shut, right?
No kidding. So there's an interesting story here going about in Florida, because that's where all, you know, you search the Florida man and something crazy always pops up. Well, this one might be added to it. There was this guy, Sean, and his friends last Saturday in Boca Grande, Florida, were on a shark fishing trip, and they caught a 6-foot lemon shark. And while posing for the picture, Sean was unexpectedly bitten by the shark in the leg. And we have some audio on this, him explaining here the situation. Go ahead.
We were taking the hook, and we just finished taking the hook out of his mouth. We were going to go release him, and the shark just turned and bit me. It's unfortunate, but it's something that happens when you go, you know. It happens sometimes. Luckily, he only took a little bit of me, and not a lot. I'm one of the fortunate ones, and, you know, now I'm a shark bite victim. A lot of good stories now.
You got to be careful when you're playing with Mother Nature.
So how much damage was there?
Well, it didn't say how much, but you heard it right there. It took a little chunk out.
Yeah.
I imagine that's a pretty gnarly scar. But 6 feet, that's a pretty big shark. I know, obviously, they get a lot bigger, but for a lemon shark, that's a pretty good size. Do you guys, I was thinking about this, I'm like, man, like how awesome, like years later, would a shark bite or like a scar like that look? Do you guys have any sort of cool scars or anything like that?
No, but if I did, I would probably make it up. Yeah, that was a shark bite back in, you know, 1995. I was attacked. I wrestled the shark. It was, you know, me and Bethany Hamilton doing it at the same time. I don't know.
Friend, anything exciting?
I'm unscarred.
I got a tiny
physically.
Little. I got this. Isn't a cool
physically.
This
yeah.
This isn't a cool story, but I have a tiny little scar on the corner of my temple here from running into the corner of a wall while playing football in the basement when I was younger. So, but I don't know if that's cool. I think that just shows that I can't properly navigate.
Yeah, I would embellish the story on that one for sure.
We got a couple of birthdays here. Matthew Perry would have been 56 today. Of course, Chandler from Friends. John Stamos is 62. Bill Clinton is 79 years old today.
And he looks every day of 79, doesn't he, Fred, when you see him at these appearances?
And,
he looks old.
On this date in history, this one's kind of interesting. 166 years ago today in 1859, crazy French stuntman, the Great Blondin, crossed Niagara Falls on a tightrope, carrying another man on his shoulders. How crazy is that? 91 years ago today in 1934, 90% of German voters elected Adolf Hitler to be president of Germany. It's also, I had to throw this in for Sue, 58 years ago today, All You Need Is Love by the Beatles hit number one on the charts. Okay, and now to wrap up Ethan's news, the random fact of the day. If all 8 billion people on the planet played in a single elimination rock, paper, scissors tournament, you'd only need to win 33 consecutive games to be the champion. And that is it for Ethan's news.
Wow.
That's another one of those things that makes your brain hurt, right? Thank you, Ethan.
Back to back, right?
Sue is back tomorrow afternoon, and for the rest of the week, Sean Spicer standing by. He's on the other side of Fox Business, and that's coming up next.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
We have former Missouri United States Senator Jim Talent coming up after the top of the hour. Tomorrow at 5:04, current United States Senator from Missouri, Eric Schmidt. He's written a new book called The Last Line of Defense, How to Beat the Left in Court. He'll join me tomorrow night. I look forward to that. Sean Spicer is back with us this afternoon. Of course, the host of the Sean Spicer Show. It's been just a little bit. I hope your summer's been going well. Sean, how are you?
What a great summer I've had. I've been very blessed this year, so I hope you've had a good one too. But it's kind of winding down, which is making me sad.
Yeah, but you know what's not making me sad? I had to declare my my joy yesterday. I have a 10-year-old daughter. I have older kids, too, but I have a 10-year-old daughter. I could not wait for school to start again, dude. You have no idea. It was crazy. So I'm so glad that school's here, even though the summer's winding down.
Oh, dude. We're in the opposite. I think the difference is I got two 14-year-olds, and I'm actually excited. Like, when they're not in school, there's not 10 practices, and there's not everything on the weekend. So I get it. It depends, I think, what age they're at.
Yeah. Well, she was driving me crazy. Let's just put it that way. Maybe no age is out of play with my daughter. That's for sure. Hey, Missouri is in the news a little bit. Have you noticed we got our, I love Andrew Bailey, so I have mixed feelings about this. He's done such a great job as attorney general in a very short time period, but he gets swept up by the administration to be co-deputy director of the FBI.
Yeah, it was funny. I still have not, I didn't, now you just gave me more information because I was trying to figure out, does he have to step down as attorney general or was he being dual hatted? And I guess you just answered that question because I couldn't tell from the way it was phrased whether or not he was going to be able to stay in Missouri as attorney general.
No, in fact, Governor Kehoe named this morning Catherine Hanaway, who is a former U.S. attorney. She's actually a good friend of this show. I do a Reardon Roundtable on Fridays, you know, with both sides going at one another. And Catherine was a panelist back in the day. And then she got real busy with doing, you know, lawyer stuff here in St. Louis. And there was a bit of a conflict. But she's a great choice. She's experienced. You know, there might be some implications for her politically when it comes to future runs for governor, if you will, because she's been a statewide candidate. So it's a good choice. And it's good for Andrew Bailey. Now, I don't know what it means for Dan Bongino because it kind of seems like he's going to be the talking head and Andrew's going to be the guy, you know, that maybe does some of the work. I'm not sure, Sean.
Neither am I. And that's why I've known Dan a long time. He's a good friend. And he's actually been a mentor in some, in sort of when I jumped into the podcast world. And so I don't know. It's interesting. I found it a little interesting just in terms of like how they're going to break up responsibilities. And, you know, in a lot of these agencies, Mark, the number two is the sort of the COO, the person who's running the business, if you will. So like the deputy attorney general is the person who really runs the department on a day-to-day basis. And the attorney general is the, you know, in the meetings and all that kind of stuff. So I just was intrigued how they'll break this up.
Yeah, so, you know, Andrew Bailey is the guy, Eric Schmidt started some of this, but Andrew Bailey is the guy that basically got rid of Kim Gardner here in St. Louis, which was a big victory. He
did
also
not stand her.
Yeah, I knew. Well, you know, I missed the gift that keeps on giving. Her and Cori Bush gave me so much material. But then he also, when this whistleblower report came out a couple years ago about WashU and Children's Hospital and the trans clinic, that was such a key moment in that whole debate on that issue. And Andrew Bailey went hard after that. And, you know, WashU closed the center. And Jamie Reed became kind of a rock star in all this trans nonsense that's out there. So he really has, in a very short time, made a big impression on folks here in this state. And let's face it, the path from being Missouri Attorney General, Josh Hawley, Eric Schmidt, now Andrew Bailey, that's not a bad path, I'd say.
No, and that's it's funny you bring that up because that was what I was thinking. It's been a pretty good stepping stone for a lot of your politicians. And so I kind of go, okay, you know, is this a 2-year thing? And then do you run for something else? Or, you know, I know obviously you guys, the Senate seat's locked up, but does he look at another statewide thing? And I was, you know, just from the outside looking in, I found it intriguing.
Yeah. My guess is he eventually comes back and runs for governor, but we'll see.
Where I was. The problem is that when you got both Josh Hawley and Eric Schmidt are relatively young guys in the scope of, you know, the average age of a U.S. senator is like 97. So I feel like, you know, they'll probably be there for a while. So you pretty much need to look statewide if you want to do anything else.
Have you gotten to know Schmidt at all by any chance?
He was on my show last week.
Yeah.
And then I've watched some of his book tour rollout. He did a great thing on Tucker the other day. I've seen some of the conversations. So I follow him. He's been an impressive guy. And I like the way that he handles himself. You know, he's really embraced social media a lot. So I sort of have been watching him from afar. He's an impressive figure.
He's a real guy, too. That's the thing. We've been close since 2008. And I'll just share a quick story. I've told the audience this a little bit. Way back in, I don't know, this would have been when Party in the USA from Miley Cyrus was a hit. So this goes back like 14 years ago. I don't know how it started, but we started punking one another, and there was a producer I worked with. So if we were out somewhere publicly and that song was on, we'd record a little snippet and we send it to one another just as a joke. So here I am about 3 months ago, and it's a Saturday, and I get a text from Schmidt. He's at an event in Denver with his wife, Jamie, and Party in the USA is on, and he takes the time to record a video and a shout-out for Party in the USA. And you know how this goes. Look, I bring that story up because so many of these politicians, maybe even Josh Hawley, they change their personalities, and Schmidt really is still a real guy, and I've called him like one of the normal politicians out there, which is not too typical sometimes, Sean.
No, in fact, it's funny. Just literally the sort of meeting that I was in, catching up with somebody right before I joined your show, we were having this exact same conversation about J.D. Vance. And just in the fact that J.D. is somebody that you can relate to,
yeah,
who has his finger on the pulse, like he doesn't seem pretentious. He has real conversations. He says real things. And so the individual I was with was just asking me, you know, is it real? And I'm like, oh, yeah, he's a legit, like that's what you see is what you get. And it's just, I think the broader point of the conversation I was having with this guy was, this is where politics is going now. This whole standing behind a podium talking about, you know, the brightest days of America continue to be upon. It's like, if you sound like it's staged and out of a movie, it's not going to fly anymore. People want somebody who they feel, on both sides of the aisle, by the way. I mean, I think this is what Zohan Mamdani has in New York with AOC. You may not like their policies, but people feel like they're not removed from them. Like, you know, AOC does these videos all the time. And I think that's what Gavin Newsom's trying to do. But he has a harder time pulling it off because it's not authentic.
Yeah. And going back to your Vance comment, you know, look, JD and Eric have become very, very close friends. And I think that reflects the reality of who they are. Let's talk about some other things here, because this whole thing with Trump and Ukraine, getting Putin to Alaska, doing this meeting yesterday, I mean, that's quite the coup that he's executing. Now, we don't know where this is going to exactly take us, but wow, you can feel the legacy media wanting to jump in here and declare victory when all this fails. But you can't really do that right now because he's got people on the same page.
Yeah, well, you know, look, this is going to be a really interesting days, weeks. I don't know. I mean, this is really... the thing that's interesting to me about Trump right now, 200 days in, is I keep thinking to myself, we have come to expect things that, I mean, for 40 years, we got used to Joe Biden barely popping his head up. And now we are at the point where we get used to a president just get stuff done. Like, he's bringing people together. And I was saying this on my show yesterday. Think about this for a second. They went and had this meeting with a few days' notice in Alaska between two major leaders, and they have a meeting yesterday with Zelensky at the White House and seven other European leaders. This stuff just doesn't happen. I've been there. I've been in the jobs, both the White House, the highest levels of politics. What these guys are logistically pulling off is just insane.
Right.
And I don't, I think people have started to take it for granted and just be like, oh, okay, no big deal. And it's just, that's crazy.
So what is your biggest takeaway then from the first 200 days? It's hard to keep track because things move so quickly. I wrote myself a note back in the spring when the Dow was tanking, and I said, hey, let's take a look at it here in September. So, you know, the number when everyone was panicking was 41 or 40,000. Now we're back up to 45,000. You know, all the predictions on the tariffs seemingly were wrong. There's so many things that people have gotten wrong. They criticized him on the D.C. crime control. Well, it's actually working, and guys like Joe Scarborough are admitting, yeah, you know what, this city is unsafe in many spots. So he's had achievements even and successes even in areas where I think people might not expect it.
Well, that's the funny thing about this. I have a newsletter that I put out twice a week at SeanSpicer.com, and I wrote my thing on Friday about the 200th day anniversary. And most presidents seek to have a signature accomplishment in their first year. Tax cuts, health care, you name it. Like for Biden, it was the Inflation Reduction Act. Obama did Obamacare, right? The idea that we've passed the big, beautiful bill, we've reshaped tariffs and trade, he solved six wars internationally, brought peace to different warring factions. Immigration and the border have become secure in a matter of months. It's like, it's not one, it's multiple. The biggest challenge the Trump administration is going to face, Mark, is keeping it going. Because there's a level of expectation that has now gone on where people are expecting, to get, I mean, because you're pocketing wins. I mean, I get a kick out of the fact I had Robert Cahaley from Trafalgar Group on my show on Friday, major pollster. And I said, you know, it feels like people are grading on a curve now. They forgot what they were used to for 4 years. And he goes, yeah. He goes, it's true, but that's just how it is now. People are expecting this now. But the idea in 6 months, how we went from literally barely seeing the president of the United States to now being like, oh, we got another tax cut passed. We got the border secure. Like, it's just I feel bad for the comp shop, because how do they keep it going? At some point, people are expecting. It's like you it's like a guy who gets up to bat in baseball and hits a home run 10 times in a row. On the 11th time, you start to go, God, if I don't do it, people are going to think I'm not good, even though you're hitting 1,000 and you're knocking out of the park every time. That's just not normal. And I think we've got it. I think that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel bad for these guys because the American people are getting conditioned to getting wins.
Yeah, no, I understand that, and that's going to get even tougher next year. What are your thoughts quickly on the redistricting in Texas? We're trying to do some of that here in Missouri as well.
Well, I'm actually going to ask you that, because here's the thing. If we just go Texas, first of all, Texas will get its five. I'm a little concerned we're overreaching in Texas. We would have gotten the two, the Vicente seat and the Cuellar seat, regardless. So the question is it worth the fight to get the other three? I think maybe, because keeping the House is that important for Trump's second term. If I don't think California will be successful. This has to go to the ballot. They have to get their voters to approve that. So, but if you assume that it can be done, that California can pull something out, then we need you guys in Missouri and Indiana, maybe Florida, to try to get us out a few. But look, if this is a net 5 to 8 seats, it's worth it.
Yeah.
And let's stop kidding each other. When Illinois, Maryland, Massachusetts all led the way, right? Massachusetts is 9-0.
I know.
Democrat to Republican. Maryland is what? 8-0. I mean, to 1. They got Andy Harris still in there right on the Eastern Shore. That's it. So I just love that suddenly democracy is under attack. These guys led the charge. I kept saying all last week, these guys were seeking going to political sanctuary cities in states that led the way in gerrymandering.
It's ridiculous. Illinois, yeah, J.B. Pritzker in particular. I mean, that's a joke. Look, I think that because President Trump is encouraging this, our governor knows that, he's going to call a special session. I think they may get it done here in Missouri. There's a lot of discussion about it. The Republicans seem unified. So I have mixed feelings, because I feel like you don't have to do this every 2 years. It gets confusing for the voters. But then I look at California and I look at Illinois in particular. And let's say, look, they're going to do the same thing. Plus, they're going to make Puerto Rico and D.C. a state if they can, and have 13 members of the Supreme Court. So it's a blood sport. You got to take advantage of the numbers right now. Sean Spicer, always great to have you on. Anything else you want to mention for your show?
Tonight, we've got KT McFarland, Trump's former national security advisor. So if you want to know what's going on, she is brilliant. 6 o'clock on YouTube. Join us for the premiere.
Sean, thank you very much. Great to catch up.
You bet, brother. Always great to see you, Mark.
Here's an interesting, I would say, flip on the trans situation. You don't have this scenario very often. Most times it's a biological male that's in the locker room with a female. That's where, Leah Thomas and all that stuff has really focused on. But this is an interesting story. I don't know what it is about Loudoun County, Virginia, because they're always in the news relating to something like this. You have two teenage boys who objected to sharing a locker room with a biological female that were hit with suspensions after being found responsible for sexual harassment and sex-based discrimination by the school district in Virginia's Loudoun County. The district notified the parents of the punishment last Friday following an investigation by the district's Title IX coordinator into the incident that happened at Stonebridge High School in Ashburn in March. And this is crazy. So essentially, there is a biological girl in the boys' restroom. She starts taking the video. First of all, you're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to record. There's a law against that in Virginia. I think we have a law against that right now. You have two boys. They were sophomores. The female-to-male transgender student entered the locker room and then recorded the boys making comments like, "Why is there a girl in the locker room?" Pretty good question. One of the boys had also told the PE teacher and the principal that he was uncomfortable sharing the locker room with a girl. So both boys here were the ones that were tagged with the responsibility. One of them does not live in the district anymore, so he will avoid the school-based punishment. The other one has to stay out of school for 10 days. It's a 10-day school detention. Here's some of the parents in Loudoun County.
Seth Wolf and Renee Smith say their sons weren't comfortable with a biologically female student who identifies as male using the boys' locker room at Stonebridge High School. In this video, first obtained by 7 News, the boys can be heard asking why there was a girl in the boys' locker room. The video was recorded by the female student, who then complained to administrators about their behavior. On Friday evening, Seth and Renee say their boys were notified by Loudoun County Public Schools that LCPS's Title IX office found them responsible for sexual harassment and sex-based discrimination.
I would say like the first reaction was like some anger, because we were just really, you know, concerned with all this stuff. There was that. It was saddened by the decision-making process and how that went.
Think about this. You're the parents of two teenage boys, and boys will be boys, and they'll get into trouble. But in this situation, they're not even the ones that are using the phone to record it. They're just saying, why is there a girl in our locker room, and the trans girl is recording this? She gets in no trouble whatsoever. The boys are suspended.
Seth's son faces a 10-day suspension and additional discipline to be handed out by school officials after a meeting with him. Renee and her family moved out of state this summer, but if her son were to ever return to the district, says LCPS, he would be suspended then.
Absolutely floored that they came back and branded my son responsible for sexual harassment and sex-based discrimination with no solid evidence whatsoever. You know, we're talking about, you know, scarring him for life by a biased process that's supposed to protect fairness. You know, it's shocking, it's wrong, and it should terrify every single parent.
Renee's concern is this will follow him because it's on his permanent academic record and could impact his college applications.
That's nuts. It really is when you think about it, because it's so upside down.
LCPS's policy allows students to use bathrooms and locker rooms based on their chosen gender identity. Seth and Renee believe LCPS is sending a message that any student who expresses views that disagree with so-called Policy 8040 will be punished.
They're going to have to follow what Loudoun County says, what they believe is right, and what goes against other people's beliefs or what we believe is right.
So Linda McMahon, who's the education secretary, is involved now in this. I think the DOJ is investigating.
Well, I think certainly we are looking very, very closely at the schools in Northern Virginia. And doesn't it speak to the common sense approach that we've been talking about? So now here are two boys. This is kind of a little bit the opposite of what we've been hearing the most about, which is mainly boys and girls locker rooms. But you see the same discomfort from these two boys in the locker room with a girl in the locker room with them. And that just shows that kids are uncomfortable. This is just common sense. Boys should not be in girls' sports, you know, and vice versa, and in their private places where they are, because it is uncomfortable.
The boys were not harassing the biological girl. They weren't doing anything except for saying, why is she in this locker room? And they're the ones that are being punished. Upside down, beyond upside down. And it's Loudoun County, Virginia, that's at the center of most of these things. I cannot explain that.
Get more at 971talk.com.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.